Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. It is the Tuesday, June 15th live show. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And we have got some things to talk about today. First off, Chris, day going well?
Yeah, it's fine.
You look nice today.
All right.
I like the shirt.
Thanks.
That's a straight money looking shirt, man.
Like you're going, I don't know about
up,
that.
You're going to picking up cash payments today.
No, just working.
Same here. Obviously, for those that that have not seen the Tuesday show, I do this live from the office. So if the background looks different than usual, that's what's up. That's what we're doing. For those that are listening on the podcast on Wednesday, June 16th, we appreciate you. If you haven't already, subscribe to the show. You know, all that good stuff. We'll go through the rundown here in just a little bit, but I do want to go ahead and start with the first major topic here. And Chris, I don't know if you remember, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, we've been doing this show for a little while, but I brought up the idea that I wanted to do pods in college football. Now, we both have said that we want to do away with divisions, right?
I don't know that I've ever said that.
Have you not said that you wanted to do away with divisions?
I don't believe I've said that.
Okay. Maybe I am incorrect in that, but here's the latest tweet from Pete Thamel. Now, obviously, he is tied in. He knows what he's talking about. He has connections all over the college football world. It says, as leagues prepare to discuss the 12-team playoff, the fate of divisions will be in the crosshairs. With more at-large bids at stake, leagues may find more urgency to put their two best teams in the league title game. Expect leagues to make a deep dive on the potential impact. He said there are multiple scenarios to consider. Could a league's top-ranked team get upset by an 8-4 team and end up with the league getting shut out of the CFP? Also, could an upset allow two teams in the league to get in, much like the Clemson-Notre Dame scenario from this past divisionless season in the ACC? I think we're going to pods. I think the SEC, the ACC, the Pac-12, etc. I think we're going to pods, man, and we are going to get to see more games. Like, I think so. The way that I had talked about setting it up, and Bill Connolly from ESPN, who does the ESPN Plus rating, he had the same idea about the same time that we talked about it on our show. Basically, you've got three set opponents every year. So for LSU, it would be Alabama, Arkansas, Texas A&M, or whatever. And Alabama's would be Tennessee, LSU, and Auburn, or whatever, right? In whatever format. And then the other five SEC games rotate annually. So every 4 years, you play a home and away with every other team in the conference. I think this is awesome for the sport. I think this is going to do wonders for getting more fun matchups, more different matchups, so that we don't have the same cast of teams every year playing the same bunch, to where it feels kind of outdated a little bit. Tell me your thoughts here. I'm excited about this.
I don't. I think they're trying to monkey with something that doesn't need monkeying. You're talking about, oh, they're going to get bored with. I'm so sorry. We're going to get tired of seeing Ole Miss, LSU that we've seen for 100 years. I'm so sorry that that's boring to you. Like, this is what college is. This is what all these sports are, by the way. People play in divisions, they play in conferences, and you play those teams. And we get a couple of games out of conference where you get to do crossover matchups, and that happens. Listen, here's what I think the problem is this is the big boys seeing today their power teams, and they're trying to protect their power teams. But the problem is they don't know who the power teams are going to be in a decade. They don't know who the power teams are going to be in 20 years. And this is the issue, is trying to manipulate something to get the results you want today when this is an ever-changing, ever-flowing thing. I don't understand it. Also, we just got 90% of what we want anyway. Getting a 12-team playoff the way they're going to do it, do I have a few nitpicks here or there? Yeah. But this is what we've been screaming for a really long time. All right? They just gave us everything we wanted, almost. We made very little concessions, and now we gotta fuck with it some more. Like, why can't we just take the nice new thing they gave us and be really happy?
Well, so let's look at it this way. LSU, as it sits right now, has to play a home and home with Florida every 2 years, right? Every other year, Florida and LSU
every year
play. Yeah, I mean, it's every year, but every other year you're going there, and every other year they're coming to
that's,
your place,
yeah.
Right? So
that's how this works, Gary.
Agreed. What I'm saying
every year
is,
home and home,
right? So what I'm saying is LSU right now, their cross division opponent is Florida. What if there is no
yeah and yours division? Is Tennessee, and it sucks that you get a cupcake for the yes. last 15 years and we get a perennial power, but that's just the way it goes, man.
Agreed.
There's no chance you're gonna make a schedule fair for everyone. It's just not gonna happen.
No, absolutely not, because there will be years that the schedule will be easier for some teams as opposed to others. However, I do like this idea where in every 4 years, every player on every team in the SEC or in whatever conference will get to go and play at whatever, you know, X school, right? At LSU playing at Georgia doesn't happen often. LSU playing at South Carolina doesn't happen often. Like, those games are big-time matchups, and if you turn this thing into pods.
LSU going to South Carolina is a big-time matchup?
I understand.
Like, us going to Kentucky is a big-time matchup? Like,
for South Carolina fans, it is. Big time. Like, that's a massive deal in Columbia, South Carolina. Like, LSU comes into town, that's huge. So, because
it's huge for the bar owners. Well, that's who it's used for. Everybody wants LSU to come to their town because all the bars instantly make another 100 grand for the year.
So, if it could switch to where instead of LSU coming to town once every 12 years, instead you could have them come in once every four, I'm a fan of that.
I don't have a problem with these pods. I don't disagree with it. I just don't trust. This is a man who has lived his entire life, and I've learned to not trust these people in power. Okay, the people who run college football monkey with it too much, and they always, every time they try to quote unquote make something better, they always find a way to make it worse. Okay.
That's true.
And I know, and you know this too, the people who are in charge of this also are great at manipulating things to where it benefits somebody. So if, you know, Florida has this monster team that should win it all, oh, this happens to be the recruiting class that they're bringing in. Well, maybe when those guys are juniors, we'll work the schedule to where they're going to have an easier path to the SEC title game. Why don't we do that to give us a shot? Like, this is what these people do. They mess with stuff all the time, and almost everything they've ever messed with until, which we haven't even gotten the 12-team playoff yet. We just think we're going to get it. It's been proposed. But almost up until this 12-team playoff, everything else college football has ever given us, they fucked up. They've made it worse. They actually made everything worse all the time.
So let's look at the progression of college football from, let's say, the 80s in like the early 90s through okay. now. All right. So before, there was no conference championship games. There was no BCS. Every bowl had a tie-in, and you would have the number one team play against the number seven team. The number two team play against the number six team. The number three team would play like number 12, whatever. And at the end of the season, you could have up to like three national champions. Like, it just depends
right.
on rankings.
It was a bad system.
Right, so that was a bad system. And then Roy Kramer, who was the former commissioner of the SEC, before Mike's Live, before Greg Sankey, Roy Kramer came in and decided he was going to do the SEC championship game. And it was going to be the two divisions, right? So they brought in South Carolina and Arkansas. They made two six-team divisions. And that first season that they had it, 1992, Alabama was undefeated. Florida was, I think, 9-3 at the time. Those two, whatever it was, 9-2, whatever. Either way, that whole thing started to kind of degrade the regular season a little bit, but it also set in place where you couldn't just, like, your conference matchups were way different, right? You had six teams, or at that point five teams, that you play every year. And then when the SEC expanded again, you had six teams that you play every year. So you got 12 games, you got two other conference games, one is set, and then you've only got one other conference game. Like, I think that the system has gotten better. There are things that are wrong with it, but I think as we move along, it's progressed. Like, I think it's successful at this point at what it's trying to accomplish, right?
Yes.
That's all I was looking for.
Yeah, but you're talking about you're specifically taking conferences and the way they're doing things. So, like,
and that's what this is. This is conferences.
Yeah. So you're saying, so what's it? What if the SEC does this, but nobody else? Is it fine?
I do think it's fine. Like, okay. I would prefer everybody go to it. And I think that once one league does it, I think
the problem is the Big Ten can't make pods with 10 teams, or the Big 12 can't make pods with 10 teams.
Yeah. No, that's
like, well, like, we don't have the option to do some of these things because these conferences aren't all the same. Right.
So the Big Ten has 14 teams. The ACC has 14
teams. If you tell me that LSU gets to rotate off Georgia or Florida more and we get more of South Carolina, I'd take that. All right.
That's 100% what this is.
But at the end of the day, I don't care. I'm not afraid. If you think, I don't think it's our God-given right to win 10 games every year. Okay. If we lose to Florida and we go from a 10-win team to a 9-win team, that doesn't upset me. All right. I don't want to lose to Florida. I hate Florida, but it's not going to ruin my season. All right. My issue is I feel like college football just gave me the greatest present I could ever get. And now I feel like, well, now we're asking for more. And I just feel like an ungrateful son of a bitch.
Well, no, okay? this is the conferences that are deciding, hey, what is the best way to try and make sure that we get teams into this 12-team format, right? Like, you want to make
sure. I mean,
sure
this would benefit the West. Like, this benefits our side of the conference because the East, until Florida recently, has been good since Dan Mullen got there and he's made that place better. The East has been Georgia and a complete shit show, okay?
That's true.
Like an absolute damn joke.
Let's not forget
what the East has been.
Missouri won two East titles in 2013, 2014. Like, that's what the East had become.
Yeah, right,
like,
when they got in, because it was terrible.
Yeah.
And the West has five teams some years that are all in the top 15?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you know, this benefits our side of the bracket. I just feel like at some point, I don't mind pods, okay? I'm not against them. I just feel like not all change ends up being good. And I don't really care. Once we go to 12 teams getting in the playoffs, we could be the third team in the SEC West and still get into the playoff.
Yeah.
No, I just think that's the possibility. I really do, because I've seen years where it's just been that strong, where Alabama, Auburn, and LSU all end up with, two of them end up with one loss, one of them ends up with two losses, but they're all like top 10 teams, and they're all going to get in. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. I think what they're trying to do here is, so last year, Texas A&M was the number five seed, right? Yeah. Florida, because of their loss to LSU, was not going to get in at we don't think that they would
have. Had Florida beaten LSU, we'd have gotten four teams in the playoff.
Yeah. I mean,
if it was 12 teams.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Had LSU not won that game and Florida wins that game, they don't throw the shoe, then we end up with four teams in the SEC, and that's a good thing.
The way that they are doing it, I think. So, by the way, Michael Fritz jumps in and said, "Sup, fellas?" He said, "Unfortunately, you can't make everyone happy." And he said, "A&M had that issue last year." That's the deal. A&M last year was 9-1. They beat Florida head-to-head, and they could not go to the SEC championship because even though Florida had two losses, they were on the wrong side of the bracket, right? Like they lost their game to Alabama. In this situation, A&M and Alabama would have played again, and that way you almost guarantee that whoever wins that is going to be like the number one team, right? And so it helps seeding. It helps. They're looking ahead to all of this different stuff, and I'm a fan.
Well, that probably would have helped Florida then. Let's say Bama beats A&M again.
Yeah.
Okay. Florida's only a two-loss team. There's a really good chance Florida still gets in.
Oh, absolutely. And Florida was going to get in as a three-loss team anyway, but they would have been way further down the bracket. They would have had to go on the road. Like,
all now, I'm not worried about who's on the bracket and if you're on the road. You get 12. My issue is I don't have a problem with the pods. Doing it once they've given us 12 teams seems like a moot point because that doesn't really matter anymore.
I totally agree with you at that point.
We're getting 12 teams, nobody who doesn't get in except for if a G5 team is undefeated or has a hellaciously good season and gets left out because they monkey with the rankings, that's the only way this thing is not just completely and utterly the 12 best teams are in and we're good.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right about that. I do think it's going to be fun. I do think it's going to be a good time. And I'm perfectly content.
I guess what I'm frustrated with college football, I'm sick of the dance, okay? At some point in time, the song needs to end, and where we stand is where we stand, well, all right?
So because
and there's this constant changing, but over the last 2 years, there's been a couple of years maybe, there's been a lot of changing talk and not a lot of changing done, and I'm just ready for that to get us where the hell we're going, and let's be on vacation. This just seems like an endless car ride to the beach, and the beach never gets here.
Oh, totally agreed. But this is conferences preparing themselves for when this goes into effect here in a couple of years.
If we can get the 12-team playoffs next year, so starting in 2022, and the conference pods can change for next year in 2022, I'm fine. I'm happy. But then I want us to stop, and I want us to enjoy being at the damn beach for a couple of years, okay?
Yeah. It'll be 2023.
Is that too much to ask?
Because I don't care.
You know what the hell I'm saying.
I know what
you're saying. Too much to ask?
No, I don't think it's too much to ask at all.
I want us to stop changing the sport. I want us to let's let it play a couple of years and see if we like it. And then if 4 or 5 years later we see some inefficiencies, then we can make some changes. Now, if you want to say, oh, we're going to go from bowl games to home games, then that won't upset me at all. That's not a major change. That's not reconfiguring the entire sport or throwing away the old schedules.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you.
The other thing I'd like to do if I can just cherry pick for things that I'm going to ask for, because I just got 90% of what I wanted, but I feel like we need to keep asking for more shit now, is I want the signing contracts to play a football game 30 years away from now to go away. I want that to end right now. The coach and the AD that signed those contracts and the president won't be alive when some of these games get played. Okay. They're going to be dead because these guys are 60 and 70 year old. All right. I don't want to do that anymore. Let's stop that shit.
If we're making more changes and whatnot, like, yes, I would. I mean, I'm almost okay
with it. You got 5 years or 6 years out. You can make a schedule, and that's it. That's the list.
I would prefer that we do some kind of – I've heard people talk about relegation, which won't happen, but could be a lot of fun if you hooked up with a sister conference or whatever and did that. I like the idea of if we're moving to a playoff, you know, eventually they will expand it even more. And in doing so, what is the purpose of the bowl games? Make the bowl games for the beginning of the next season. So forget the reward thing. Like, if we're going to move away from bowls to where bowls don't matter, I'm good with moving them to the front of the season so that you have a non-conference game that is scheduled, like, in the spring. I'm totally fine with that as well, so that you don't have to. And it's based on, like, what your record was the year before, right? Everybody plays basically a bowl game, and it's a beginning of the season game that would be played in week zero, whatever. I would like that.
Let me tell you why that's a tough thing for fans. 80% of people spend their summers going on vacation.
Yep.
The majority of the working class folk won't take another vacation until Christmas time.
And if
you just got back from the beach and now your team is playing in the Boca Raton Bowl, you ain't going.
Yep. Okay. That's true.
You're just not going. You're not going to the Holiday Bowl in San Diego if you just got back from the mountains. Like, that's just not happening because most people don't have that. But if you assume your team is going to go to a bowl game, you just plan your kind of Christmas vacation trip around a bowl.
Yeah.
And you don't know where it's going to be yet. I mean, it's Russian roulette of where the hell you're going to end up spending that weekend. But you know you love your team and you're going to go, and you think they'll make a bowl game. You start making plans to just set aside funds for that kind of thing.
Yes.
But
yes,
you've got time to do that. If you do that back-to-back, fans will not show up for those things. I think you will lose a lot of people, because spring break happens in March or April. June and July, everybody's taking their family vacations, and then you're asking August, September for them to take another vacation. I don't think the majority of fans are going to shell out that kind of money.
Don't get me wrong, there are all kinds of holes to poke in that idea, but the basic idea sounds like fun.
I also don't mind the bowls. I don't know who people are that hate the bowls. I don't like the bowl system, and I don't want the bowls to have anything to do with my playoff. All right.
Yeah.
But I've never been upset at the New Orleans Bowl. Like, Memphis made the New Orleans Bowl like several years ago, whatever. And my mom and stepdad went down. Like, that was an awesome time for them. I wish I could have gotten off work at that time and gone to New Orleans and partied and went to a Memphis game in the second weekend of December. Like, that'd have been great.
Yes.
Like, no, I don't know who these people are that hate that. Yes, if it affects your championship, no. They got to go. Absolutely. And those guys, I'll take out to the desert and bury them myself. I don't care. But all the, like, everyone hates, like, you know, the Weed Eater Bowl and the Gasparilla. Like, who cares?
Hey, if you're a college football fan, you're going to watch around, because yes, that is perfect. And that's one of the reasons why it will never go away.
I need to flake ESPN off of work for a couple of hours during that time and go find a sports bar and take a 3-hour lunch and watch a football game.
Yes, ESPN needs the content. It'll continue on. So, but the idea of matching up a non-conference game to start the season for teams that are similar, I'm a fan of that idea. But either way,
you know my opinion on that. I just want, that's where I want the pay for wins to go.
I want to get
the pay for wins out of the conference, out of the schedule completely. And if you're going to bring Kent State in, if you're going to bring your alma mater in, if we're going to bring McNeese State in or whatever, and kick the shit out of them and pay them $1.5 million, that's where I want my spring game. Or if you're going to do some weird preseason game at the, you know, the middle of August or something, that's where I want that. Yes. I don't want it to count towards your record. It doesn't need to matter at all. They get the money. You get the fun, you get to sell some tickets, and that's that. Don't mix it in with my schedule.
On the SBR show, we've talked about that. I like the idea of that being the spring game. So give a little competition. It doesn't count on the record. The smaller schools get paid, et cetera. Michael said, I agree with that for sure. If it's a 12-team playoff, then conferences can be left alone. Michael said, absolutely. I think the small businesses getting some advertisement is great. And Joseph jumped in on YouTube. He said, once we start getting upsets, we'll see how long this 12-team playoff will really last.
I don't think they're going to go away. I do believe that once they open this can, they can't close this can.
You are correct about that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The College World Series is officially set. We have got 4 games on Saturday and Sunday, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. Stanford and NC State, Vandy and Arizona, Tennessee against Virginia, and Texas against Mississippi State. This is kind of an all-star lineup of college baseball teams, man. Like, this is a lot of fun. And the SEC getting three teams in.
There's a couple of new blood in there that's not so big.
Agreed.
But year in and year out. But, man, Mississippi State drawing Texas, that's some hard cheese right there.
Oh, it certainly is. Mississippi State lost the first game to Notre Dame, 9-0 or something? Wasn't that it? And then
no, it wasn't 9-0. They didn't get shut out, but it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. And then came back and won the last two games, right? Or do I have that twisted? Did State win the first one?
Nope.
Notre Dame won the second one, and then either way, Mississippi State punched their ticket on Monday evening. Virginia punched their ticket against Dallas Baptist,
Mississippi State won 9-8 the first game.
That's what it was. 9-8 the first game, and then Notre Dame won the second.
They lost 9-1 the next game.
That's what it was. 9-1 the second game. Okay. And then Mississippi State won the final game to head to the College World Series. The most shocking thing about this eight teams here is NC State. NC State wins at Arkansas, who had not lost a three-game series to anybody
the whole year
since March of 2019.
Yeah.
How crazy is that, man?
Well, I mean, that's all right. That's one of those bullshit things because they had like half a season last year.
Agreed.
And so they didn't really get into conference play last year. And so they played a bunch of nobodies before. Yeah, no, I'm not giving them that bullshit. They're a really good team. That Arkansas team was really, really good. They hit everybody. They put points up against everybody. It's the best offense I've ever seen in college baseball. And they couldn't hit the third day pitcher at, for NC State.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, not a shot at Stanford. NC State got the easiest draw of this bracket.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's because they do it as a bracket. They don't reseed it. The bracket is set as soon as you go to the super final, super regionals. And so Arkansas was supposed to get the quote unquote easiest draw. If they make it in, if the underdog makes it in, they now have the easiest path.
And they are one of the scariest teams because, dude, their bats have been on fire since
no, they can hit.
Like the end of April. I mean,
we had two teams in the SEC that did something I had never seen before. We've talked about this in the past. Arkansas is the best offense I've ever seen, and Vanderbilt has two starters that are better than any two pitchers I've ever seen in college baseball.
Yes. Yes, you are correct.
I've never seen a 1-2 punch like this in college baseball at this level before. You drop them into the major leagues tomorrow, and they would be 15-game winners in the big leagues. I think they're that good.
I think you're really
impressive. One of those boys got drafted by my Red Sox.
I know you were so excited about
that. We need some arms.
College World Series is such an underrated event, says Michael Fritz. He said, I've been a few times and had such a great time up in Omaha. He said, hard to beat the sound of an aluminum bat. That is true.
So I've never been. I want to go to Omaha. It's one of my things that I want to do pretty badly. And I'm sure I'll do it at some point in time. I love college baseball. Even outside of going to Omaha, this tournament I like better than the NCAA basketball tournament. But I like baseball better than I like basketball. And I follow this sport closer than I follow basketball. But if you took somebody who was a general sports fan and they didn't have any love or passion either way, but no hatred either way, they just like sports, all right? They like baseball and basketball equally. I believed if you gave them this tournament from start to the time regional start, conference tournament start, and pick basketball and the time its conference tournament starts, I actually think this tournament's a better tournament. I really do.
Yeah, I think so as well. I'm a fan.
I think ESPN does a bad job of producing it, I guess. But, I mean, they do kind of a bad job of putting it on.
No, they don't, like, they don't promote it well. Like, for sure.
No, they don't promote it at all. And this is their product. Like, they have the rights to it. They should be promoting this thing. But outside of not promoting it well, like, the announcers are doing it from home. Like, they're not at the stadiums. Like, nobody was at Mississippi State to feel 15,000 people going crazy in that place. Like, you get a different environment and you call the game differently when you feel the electricity. Or in Arkansas, where, you know, in the eighth inning or seventh inning, wherever it is, when the guy you got a tie game and they hit a one run bomb and it just sucks the air out of the place. Like, you as an announcer feel that and experience that. You can't explain that on TV if you're sitting on your couch in your house.
Now, we saw football do it this past year where they had several, and now some of the bigger games, people were at the game, but a lot of the smaller conference games, ESPN had them call it from the studio.
From their house.
Or from their house. And it's, you know, have been.
It's just not the same. We're far enough past COVID right now, and not that we're past COVID for good, but we're far enough beyond this thing to where they could have gotten there. Like, they could have put them, they could have brought them in.
Yeah.
There's only eight locations. It's not like you've got 100 locations that you're trying to spread out here.
Oh,
you're
no,
going to eight different cities.
Yeah, you could have done that, and they didn't. But hopefully going forward, they will. Like, I'm hoping.
And they need to invest in better people to call these games. I watch all these games. I love this sport. It's pretty bad. Some of the, like, all the color guys played college baseball and are mostly all former pros that played college baseball and didn't go the straight to the pros route. So they know more about what they're talking about, but the game has changed a lot. Almost zero of the analysts know what in the hell they're doing. They've never covered baseball before in their life, or they've never covered college baseball. So they don't know these kids. They don't know these coaches, and they don't know these traditions. They're trying to learn it on the fly as the tournament's going on. And it shows that they're unprepared and they're not knowledgeable. That's bad. You own this property. Just hire a couple of young kids that are good at this across the country. You can find, you know,
eight
or
10 podcast.
Or 12 kids that are going through college to be journalist majors to do this and say, you're going to follow the SEC. You're going to follow the ACC. You're going to follow the Pac-12. This is your job. This is your internship right here. And then let them call the game, because they're going to, A, learn on the fly, but B, they're going to have passion and knowledge about this sport that these quote unquote professionals just don't have.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of these professionals cover a lot of other sports as well.
They're trying to cover too many things. Those kids have cost you a bag of chips, man.
Yes. Ben jumped in. He said, who picked America's most boring city, Omaha, Nebraska, as the place to do the College World Series? That would be the NCAA. But I think Omaha's fine. I think it's the perfect backdrop for this. Like,
Omaha has done a good job. Nebraska is like the one state that I like to shit on all the time because it's
because
Nebraska,
the
man. It's not just because of this football. It just doesn't make any sense why they're a place. But anyway, the people that live there, and I'm sure they're fine folks. It is weird that it somehow landed in Omaha, but Omaha puts it on really well.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Michael said you guys need to go. I'd also like to go to OKC and watch the women's tournament. Yeah, the softball tournament out in Oklahoma City is great.
I actually would like to go to Norman. Watching softball is really fun. It's shorter. It's a different game.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot more action, and it's shorter. So yes. You don't have to have the attention span.
That is true.
I like it.
Michael said, Ben, Omaha's a pretty cool city. And then Ben jumps back with, the announcers suck. They pick the color commentators off the street, and all ESPN commentators sound the exact same in every sport. That's what we were talking about. They recycle them.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest issue. So, before we get off that, so your LSU Tigers got knocked out by Tennessee, two-game sweep. Paul Maneri, I believe that's the name. Is that how you say it?
Yes, Paul Maneri.
So,
legendary coach, yes, retiring. That was retiring. His last game last season. They probably shouldn't have made it to this point. I wanted them to get out of the regionals, and that's all I wanted.
Yep.
Well, then when they got to the Super, I was like, well, it'd be nice to make one more. Like, you always just want one more thing, right? Like, but no, this is probably what should have happened. Tennessee's the better team. Tennessee's a really, really good baseball team.
Oh, yes.
So something weird happened at this game at the end of it. Now, they beat the hell out of LSU at the end of the game. All right. And this game was out of hand, out of control, whatever. When the game finally ended, LSU wouldn't die, and it lasted forever. When it finally ended, like, the announcer, not like the people calling the game, obviously, in ESPN, but the broadcast announcer at the game, like, did a little thing for Paul Maneri and talked about how this is his last college baseball game, and he, like, step out and wave at everybody. And he, like, stepped out and kind of thanked the Tennessee fans and, I guess, thanked SEC and LSU fans for showing up and all that stuff. And the Tennessee fans booed the hell out of him. And
okay.
I thought,
so here's the deal.
That's pretty shitty.
Okay, it definitely is, but Maneri made some statements about Tennessee fans earlier in the season, and that's what that was about, right? So he actually apologized before the Super Regional about that. And I don't even remember exactly what
but
he said.
But his statements are not wrong. People are just – like, if somebody criticized LSU fans for being too ruly, like unruly and like crazy and belligerent or whatever, like – at games, I'm not going to be mad at you. They are. All right. Now it's over exaggerated. It's become a trope now to talk about, oh, I saw a 3-year-old flipping me off and throwing a whiskey bottle in somebody's window. Like, look, been to Baton Rouge a lot of times. I've never seen that before in my life. I've seen Ole Miss fans. I've seen State fans get stuck in the mud around their parking. And I've seen LSU fans after games help pull them out. Like, people are decent people. You're going to have people that get too drunk and act like assholes, but rarely is it any – they do drink more than everybody else. But I've never seen whiskey bottles thrown through Suburbans. I hear all these stories. It's all bullshit. Everything Paul Maneri said about the fans of Tennessee is something – he didn't characterize them. He talked about something that happened to LSU when we went to Tennessee and what the fans did. You can't get mad at that. That's just reporting the news, man.
I agree. Ben wants to know who we're picking. We will talk about that on the Friday podcast. I mean, the games aren't until Saturday. I've got no idea yet. I could pick anybody and just be like, yeah, I think, yeah, so-and-so's got a chance. But
I mean, I'm going to tell you, I can tell you right now, I've watched this shit all year. I don't think anybody's beaten Vanderbilt. They've got two pitchers. You got to beat them twice. I don't see that happening. You know, if I had to get a second pick, I would pick Tennessee. I do think they're the next best team. I really do. Texas is damn good. I think Tennessee's better than them.
At NC State, I mean, you talked about them having
no NC State whatever, doesn't belong here. Congratulations, they made it.
Yeah, but
if they win
right
a
now.
Game, that's amazing. They're not going to win the tournament, Gary.
Maybe not, but
I watched baseball for too long.
Well, I also didn't think that they would beat Arkansas either, and you never know. I mean,
that's
their
right.
Bats are
that's
hot
right.
Right.
They
now.
Had a series, but they also did something in that series, which is awesome, that they haven't done all year. And they're just not going to be able to do it again. Like, can they beat Stanford? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they can beat Stanford. Could Stanford beat them? Absolutely. Yeah. That's a coin flip series if there ever was one. But those two teams, I believe, are the two – in my opinion, they're the two worst teams out of the eight teams that made it. If I was going to seed them, I would seed them 8-9 or 8-7.
I am going to do a little more digging, and, you know, we'll probably talk a little more about it on the Friday pod. So, let's move off of that. Let's talk about some NFL right quick. I do want to bring up two guys that are currently sitting out of camp, right? So right now we've got the mandatory mini camps. It's a 3-day thing, whatever. But Jamal Adams is sitting out for the Seahawks. He wants a new contract. And cornerback Xavier Howard is sitting out for the Dolphins. But these two situations are completely different, right? Jamal Adams... Now, I do want to talk about the fact that the Seahawks traded away first-round picks and all this kind of mess and didn't get a deal done with him. He's going into his fifth-year option. So it's a contract. It's $9-point-whatever-million. But he's going into his fifth year. He wants a deal. Like, he wants to be extended, and he wants the money, right? So, and I totally see that. That one makes sense. Xavier Howard, I don't really understand it. And we'll talk about why with this article. So CBS Sports put up an article about the Dolphins All-Pro cornerback. So Xavier Howard had 10 interceptions last year. He led the league. It's the first time anybody's had double-digit interceptions in a season since Antonio Cromartie back in 2007. Brian Flores told reporters that it's pretty clear this is a contract situation. We've talked about it internally. That's what I believe it is. We have had discussions, and we'll continue to have those discussions. X is a unique situation. He was extended, and now we're talking about a renegotiation of an extension. We've had a lot of discussions about that. Very unique situation, talking about a potential renegotiation after 1 year. Those are longer conversations, and we understand that. So here's the deal. Xavier Howard inked a 5-year, $76 million extension in 2019. Howard remains under contract with the Dolphins through 2024. Like, this is his second Pro Bowl nod. He led the league in interceptions. And now the former second-round pick wants a raise, even though he just signed a 5-year, $76 million deal towards the end of the 2019 season.
Yeah, he's played on that deal 1 year.
We don't normally hear about renegotiations after a single season, especially when the contract is pretty good. I mean, 5 years, $76 million is all right. Now, he is the second highest paid cornerback on the team behind Byron Jones, but like this is crazy. Like, Byron Jones is guaranteed $14 million this coming season. Howard is getting $12 million. I still think that's a good deal. Like,
it's irrelevant of any of that. Is it worth it? Is it not? Whatever. He signed a deal. You got it. I don't begrudge these guys for holding out to try to get more money. If you're just going to hold out after playing on your deal 1 year, why would I ever sign you to anything more than a 1 year deal?
Yes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So the CBS thing says that his agent has approached Miami about a new deal. And it says the Dolphins have been noncommittal, and they're talking about trying to force a trade from Miami if they don't get a new deal done. Like,
I don't like this stuff. This is the side. Look, I am 90% of the time on the player side, but the last few years of and it's not a player empowerment thing, and I don't think players should be able to pick and choose. You know what these contracts are when you sign them.
Yes.
And you know what these teams look like when you sign them. You have to at least show some effort that you want to be a part of this, and you're going to uphold your side of the contract. Now, I damn sure think the teams and the owners should uphold more of their sides of it, all right? But this is crazy. Yes. 1 year, and we're just going to throw the whole contract away, and I want more money? What happens if you outplay that in 1 year? We're going to just throw it away, and I want more money? Like, I don't know what else to do.
That's the thing, right? Like, yes, he had a monster season last year, right? Monster year. But if you are going to get a different contract for every season that you do really well, are you going to give back money for the seasons that you don't do as well?
That's right. I was about to say, if you have a down season this year, can they renegotiate? This is why, which you're never going to get the players to agree to this, but this is why I would give you a strong base salary with a shitload of incentives.
Yes.
And I don't even need those incentives to be like, you're the best at this and the best at that. The reason they do workout incentives and weigh-in incentives and things like that is because they just want effort. Like, you might not perform as well this year as you did last year, but if you show up and give me the same effort, then you get the same reward. Yes. Okay. Like, it might not equal wins and losses to us as a team, but like, what if you become Nnamdi Asamoah? Okay. I remember him out of the Raiders years and years and years ago. Okay. He was the best cornerback in football, but this was in the height of Revis Island. All right. And Revis had all of these accolades getting thrown on him because he had all these picks, all these turnovers, all these interceptions, and Nnamdi had none. Nnamdi went an entire season and less than 10 balls were thrown his direction.
Yeah.
Less than 10 in the NFL. He played in 16 games. All right. Nobody. Now, hey, the Raiders sucked. So why on earth would you throw that way when the guys on the other side are garbage? You just wouldn't. Nnamdi Asamoah was a better corner, in my opinion, than Revis, but he didn't have the stats to show it. At the end of the day, you can't just give stats. What if they stop throwing your way? I still have to reward the effort. I still have to reward everything else about what you're doing, even though the numbers didn't result in what we thought they would. You got to have incentive-based contracts. Yeah. You just do. It's the only way to stop this. But with the incentives, I can make you the highest paid player in the NFL. Like, if you do things that we've never seen done before in the league, then I just got to shell out a shitload of money to you.
And that's okay, because we'll be winning.
That's right. And that's okay. Because, well, and not always. Listen, agreed. We've had guys have freak years in the past on shit teams. That happens.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey's in it for the Panthers, you know, multiple times.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah.
Usually they don't make the playoffs. He still puts up unbelievable record. So I'm okay with that. You can still get paid. I just don't know how else to do it if you're just going to throw the contract away every year you do well.
Do you have any issue with Jamal Adams sitting out? Because I really don't.
I mean, he forced the trade, and then the team that traded for him didn't give him the new deal. Like hold out. Become a free – my thing is this. Just do what you have to do to become a free agent.
Yeah, okay? Like I can understand.
And then once you become a free agent, then nobody can tell you boo. You can go anywhere you want to go.
Sit out minicamp, try and get this deal done, try and force their hand a little bit. I'm totally fine with that. But none of this sitting out the season or whatever. Yes, you've only got 1 year left, but go out, play, and become a free agent, and then go and see what the market says.
Well, I will tell you what I'd really like. I know the problem with just become a free agent is, well, they can franchise tag you. But outside of one quarterback one time, nobody's ever been franchised twice. I kind of wish the league could, and they'll never do it. The owners will never give it up. But I do wish they'd get rid of the franchise tag. That would fix 90% of these problems. Because then all these players that get stuck on bullshit teams and then cry about it later, you sign that deal, man. Once your rookie deal is up, if you sign the extension, bro, that's on you.
Yep. That's
nobody put a gun to your head and made you do it. You could have became a free agent. You could have got the hell out of here.
I mean, Xavier Howard, was. He was set up to be a free agent, and he signed a pretty big extent. I mean, five years, $76 million is not.
That's a lot of money for DB.
Yes, that is not something to just scoff at.
Stephon Gilbert right now in the New England Patriots is holding out because Stephon Gilbert's making $7 million a year this year.
Yeah, well, and he's got 1 year left on his deal.
That's right. And he's got 1 year left on his deal, and it's $7 million. He would like a lot more money. Or he'd like to be traded to a team that'll pay him a lot more money.
Well, and Gilmore has been talked about a lot in trades and whatnot because, you know, the Patriots are not going to pay him.
Yeah. Well, they might. Bill has paid a lot of people. They might pay him.
They've kind of made it known that they don't want to pay him for what it's going to cost to keep him, right?
So I just don't know what that number is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. None of us knows. Matt said, didn't Larry Brown or whoever do that with the Cowboys and got banked from the Raiders and then never did anything? Well, I mean, Albert Haynesworth did it too.
Well, the Raiders have overpaid. The two teams that religiously overpaid people were the Raiders and the Washington football team.
Yep. You are correct about that.
They've signed free agent after free agent years past. And what they learn is these guys are products of systems. They're product of it. And not that the players aren't great themselves, but if your coaches aren't going to use them the exact same way the other coaches use them, then they're not going to perform the exact same way they performed. They moved Albert Haynesworth in and then changed the defense completely.
Yeah.
They went from either a 3-4 to a 4-3 or vice versa, whatever. But it's just like he put up those numbers doing that in a certain style of defense. You can't go get him and then expect him to change his game. That's not smart.
Yeah. No, and on top of that, he Matt said Haynesworth just never studied for his conditioning test. Oh, God almighty. Yeah, no, the Patriots do this all the time, right? Like, they know exactly how to get the best out of their players doing certain things. They don't ask them to do things that they can't do. And then they go to other teams, and the teams expect them to be able to do everything rather than
figuring out what they do just best. Got an offensive lineman back because he left them in free agency and became the highest paid offensive lineman in football for 2 years with the Raiders. Then the Raiders cut him and ate a bunch of dead money because he wasn't very good with them, and the Patriots got him for a sandwich.
Yep. And it's
because
it's
smart. He knew, I'm not great without you, and you're not great without me. And it's a good relationship, and there's a value to that.
Yes. Yes, there is. Let's close out today's show. I have a story that I want to tell you about.
All right.
You have not heard this. I didn't tell you about it beforehand. But with what you and I have talked about in the past, I felt like this was a very fitting story. A businessman purchased a municipal building underneath the city of Brooksville, Florida's water tower last April for $55,000 with the goal of converting it into a gym. However, when Bobby Reed went to the county to get an address for his new business location, he was told the parcel he bought included the entire water tower site according to the Tampa Bay Times. This town is about 60 miles north of Tampa. The small town in Florida sold their water tower. They sold their water supply in a blundered real estate transaction. I thought you would get a kick out of this. Now, luckily for the town, Reed was willing to give it back to him. He knew it was a mistake.
But I'm going to bet Reed got some incentives to get it back to him.
More than likely. County records show he transferred the water tower back to Brooksville through a warranty deed last month. The town of 8,500 residents is located 50 miles north of Tampa. So 50 miles north.
There's zero chance this guy gets audited or harassed by the local police department ever.
Yes.
Ever.
I agree. Blake Bell, city council member, said, "I don't know where the blame falls here. We're council members and we rely on the city manager. We assume that he has done his due diligence." City manager Mark Cutney blamed the use of a bad legal description for what happened. The city's redevelopment agency director resigned after the accidental sale. Cutney said, "We're human. Sometimes we make a mistake." Could you imagine selling a town's water supply? Like
this guy's a little nicer than me. I don't know that I'd have given it back. I don't know that I would.
But that's smart business. If all of a sudden you own it.
Listen, bank error has never affected me or helped me in my life, all right? It's always an error where they take money from me and not accidentally deposit a couple hundred grand in my account, okay? So I think I would take my shot with trying to keep the water tower.
Yeah, or try and sell it to somebody else. If the city didn't want to pay you for it, okay, you know, I'd make a, like, we'll get Tampa to buy this thing, and then you can get your water from Tampa and pay a charge for it, right? Like,
hell, they can just pay me.
Yes.
You owe me. I just go out there and turn it off. Be like, well, I'm just going to hold payments. It ransom once a month. Y'all just put a lot. Look, I'm not even going to give a number, okay? I just need a duffel bag at the end of my drive, and I'll walk out there and turn it on.
There okay? you go.
And as long as the first of every month, there's a duffel bag with whatever you think is fair. And then if I ever deem it not fair, I just walk out there and turn it off.
I'll just walk out and turn off the
duffel bag. This is one of those blind auction things where, like, would if we paid him $1,000, would he be happy? Or $100,000 or $1,000,000? Like, you don't know how I'm feeling that week.
Have you seen some of these college football media guys talk about the blind auction for overtime? Like, no. whoever would take the ball, like, instead of doing coin tosses, instead of doing starting at the 25 or whatever, like, whoever would take the ball furthest away from the goal line.
That's right. I have heard about this. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But yes.
I actually like this idea. I like this idea a lot. I think if the NFL ever gets rid of their thing, instead of doing a coin flip, they should do the exact same thing.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly.
They should do the exact same thing.
You know,
I have no idea what you do if both teams choose to take the ball from the own 1 yard line.
Well, then you go back to the blind auction. Like, you just
no, I'm saying if both. So if you've got
from their own 1 yard line, yeah,
from their own 1 yard line. That's what I'm saying. What do you do if it's a tie? Basically,
I think
if they all, if both of them say I'm willing to go 99 yards, what do you do then? Because you're not doing inches. You're not breaking it down like that. It's yard lines. So. If you've got Patrick Mahomes and you've got Tom Brady, you're the Patriots. Back in the day when that offense was unbelievable, you're the Chiefs, and this is an AFC title game. What do you do if both of them say it's too important for us to get the ball? Everybody's scoring on every possession. We both just blindly write 1 yard line. Like, what do you do?
I think at that point you have to flip a coin, right?
Yeah.
So
we're both willing to go 100 yards.
That's
but if you flip the coin, then where do you put the ball?
Oh, God.
Because now we're flipping a coin.
I guess the 50? I guess it would be
No, hell no.
No, it'd have to
hell
be the,
no.
Have to
you
be
were
the
gonna,
one.
You were going to play it from the one.
Yeah, it would have to be the one.
Now your ass has to go from the one.
I like it. But, yes, Brooksville,
Florida.
That's a Florida,
coin flip you want to lose right there.
Brooksville, Florida sold their water tower to a random dude.
I hope this guy, I hope Goodwill has helps him. I hope his gym is like the most successful gym in the country.
I mean, you can't buy a better promotion. I mean,
no, I guess
thing,
you can't.
This thing is everywhere. It's all over the Associated Press and everything. So,
well, yeah, but all those people don't live in his town.
But true, but
like it's not like he sells something on the internet and so overnight he can become a gazillionaire because everybody saw what he did and wants to help him. The small town of Brooksville has to get off their ass and go get a gym membership.
Yeah. But there's only 8,500 people in the town. So
all right. So that's not a lot of money. This guy's I don't know what he can do to profit off of this, but
hey, if he can get half of them, like I think that'd be pretty good. Brooksville, take care of your boy. That's all we're saying.
That's right.
That's all we're saying. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. You got anything else you want to hit?
No, I was looking. I can't see anything else.
Yeah, I don't see anything that's broken. Let's see. I pull up ESPN one last time just to check. James Harden, you know, hopeful for a return in Game 5. Yeah, whatever. Nothing major going on. All right, you guys have been fantastic. Thank you to everybody that jumped in on the chat, Ben. And Michael and Matt and let's see who else was there. It wasn't Jose. Joseph was in. You guys have been great. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Every Tuesday you can be a part of the show as well. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, of course, to the YouTube show, the Twitch show. All of these show up on Tuesday, and then we've got the Monday and Friday podcasts, and the Tuesday show becomes the Wednesday podcast. So go to winningcureseverything.com. Go to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Our college football show comes out every Wednesday, so go and check that thing out. You can find it on YouTube. Search out SBR Picks. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, share the show out, tell your friends, all that good stuff. And take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.